coming up on KUCB News. Unalaska greenlights a $30 million budget, and Governor Walker wants stronger penalties for drug makers who don't do enough to curb opioid abuse. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Aleutian Family Dentistry, cultivating a community of healthy smiles. Dr. MacArthur and his team will be in Unalaska during the month of May. Services include dental exams, cleanings, pediatric children's dentistry, braces including Invisalign, implants, fillings, extractions including wisdom teeth extractions, crowns, sedation dentistry, teeth whitening, and much more. All insurance is accepted, including Denali Kid Care and Medicaid. Appointments available by calling 581-3122.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. The City of Unalaska has unanimously approved a $29.8 million budget for the fiscal year 2019. It covers scheduled expenses, including software updates, employee raises, and new equipment at the community center. Mayor Frank Kelty calls it a conservative budget.
You know, we've been doing a good job on our estimates. Somebody who was involved with the fisheries estimates could have done a better job, it looks like, but... Other than that, it looks like we're still going to have a sizable surplus.
The council also signed an agreement with the Unalaska City School District, providing nearly $560,000 for the community schools program and eligible maintenance. In all, the council will give $4.1 million to UCSD for the fiscal year 2019. Councilor Bong Tungle says he's behind this decision 100%.
I fully supported this. I wish we could do more.
And the council also approved hiring a new lobbyist. Diane Bloomer will begin her one-year term on July 1st and replaces Ray Gillespie, who is retiring after being the city's lobbyist for more than two decades. Bloomer's contract is for $71,000, and while Councilor Dennis Robinson supported her as a candidate, he thinks in the future expenditures of that much money should be sent out for RFP.
We have our limits. We've upped on that in recent years, and... This is one of those items that falls under that type of scenario.
The next city council meeting is June 12th. The Walker administration wants stronger penalties for drug manufacturers who don't do enough to curb opioid abuse. Along with 37 other attorney generals, Alaska's Jonna Lindemuth signed onto a letter sent to Senate committee leaders urging them to expedite passage of the Comprehensive Addiction Recovery Act 2.0, sponsored by Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman. The bipartisan bill continues funding for evidence-based prevention, treatment, and recovery programs connected to the national opioid crisis. Within the legislation is a provision modeled on a separate bill introduced by Democratic Senators Maria Cantwell of Washington and Kamala Harris of California. It would increase financial penalties on companies that ignore or fail to report unusual prescription patterns that signal misuse, abuse, and resale of painkillers. The Attorney General's letter faults companies that manufacture powerful opioids for past instances of not heeding concerns about overprescribing, illegal sales, and rampant abuse when they were raised. Under the proposed law, companies that don't report suspicious sales activity would see the civil fine increase tenfold to $100,000 and criminal violations for improperly reporting data double to $500,000. Governor Bill Walker sent along his own letter to senators urging them to pass both pieces of legislation. Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan is co-sponsoring a bill that would direct the Department of Veterans Affairs to research medical cannabis. The bill calls on the VA to look into the efficacy and safety of cannabis in the treatment of veterans diagnosed with chronic pain, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other conditions. 29 states have legalized the medicinal use of cannabis, but it still remains illegal under federal law. That's why it has been unclear if the VA is allowed to research cannabis, and the bill would specifically authorize the department to do so. Sullivan says the legislation has his support because he's heard veterans say in conversation and in public testimony that the VA should look at the benefits of cannabis.
Some have tried to find the benefits of dealing with pain through self-medicating marijuana, and doctors, particularly at the VA, need to understand this and how it can impact their diagnosis. And I have heard from veterans that this has been helpful.
Sullivan cites the overprescription of opioids and the rising number of overdose deaths in the past year as reasons veterans are looking for other treatment methods. Medicinal cannabis has been legal in Alaska for more than two decades. Alaska legalized its recreational use in 2015 through a ballot initiative. Sullivan has said he did not support it, but accepted the mandate of state voters when it passed. And Sullivan says views of cannabis are softening in general in Washington, D.C., after strong nationwide support for its medicinal use and the handful of states that legalized its recreational use.
I think there's kind of a combination of people seeing the medical benefits, but also 10th Amendment elements of this, where the states have come out in statewide referendums like in Alaska, where they've come out in support. And even members of Congress who weren't supportive or aren't supportive of those kind of referendums are saying, hey, look, the people are speaking. This is what states have the right to do this.
Sullivan, a Republican, is the lone co-sponsor of the VA cannabis research bill by Senator John Tester, a Democrat from Montana. Alaska's Congressman Don Young is one of the 55 co-sponsors on an identical bill in the U.S. House. Alaska's trade delegation started their official visit to China this week in the city of Chengdu in southwest China at the annual China-U.S. Governors Forum. Governor Bill Walker is leading the delegation of Alaska companies on the 10-day trade mission. On Tuesday, American and Chinese companies and politicians had a full day of meetings, panel discussions, and even speed dating. From Alaska's energy desk in Chengdu, Rasha McChesney describes the scene.
Imagine flying all the way to China for a blind date, or waiting for that Alaskan from halfway around the world to make the first move. That's kind of what it was like for David McCarthy. He co-owns the 49th State Brewing Company, a craft beer brand with brew pubs in Denali and Anchorage. McCarthy sat down with several Chinese companies for a series of speed dates. And just like a real date, there were a lot of tentative ni haos, that's Mandarin for hello, glances toward interpreters. Don't you wish you had one of those on a real date? And some surprises.
Very good.
And tax.
Tax is free. Tax is free.
McCarthy's partner on this date represents a pretty big market in the northern part of China. They want to pair McCarthy's beer with Alaska seafood and sell it in mobile carts.
A big market.
50 million. That's a big market.
Yeah, really big. The scale of the potential markets in China kind of dwarfs the market back home in Alaska.
How many?
750,000.
Oh, 700.
McCarthy and his 49th State Brewing Company co-owner are hoping to sell their beer directly into China. They talked about flying it into Beijing or Shanghai, anywhere that Chinese consumers can drink Alaska beer, then hop on a plane and come see the state for themselves. So did the speed dates work? McCarthy says they were promising.
We did trade numbers the last, guys, and maybe we're going to go out for drinks later, too.
The short meetings are a chance for Alaska businesses to introduce themselves directly to what they hope will be a giant market of new customers. They came after a long day of ceremony and seminars at the annual U.S. and China Governors Conference. It brings together U.S. state governors and regional Chinese leaders to talk about trade and investment. And in some cases, like this speed dating event, it allows for a lot of face-to-face meetings between people who could have mutual interests. After the dates, it wasn't immediately clear that anyone had landed that special someone. But several members of Alaska's delegation say they are astonished by the amount of interest in their products, their recipes, their brands. Crescent Zhuan is the head of the International Trade Department at Sichuan Jingang Flavor Company. She spent a lot of time talking to the four seafood companies that are part of the Alaska delegation. She and her boss are interested in incorporating Alaska salmon into their food flavorings. And she says these short, fast meetings left her wanting to know more.
Because I think the time is, it's so short. If I have more time, I think I have more chance to communication with the company and the people. we think it's the more time communication, more time for understanding.
To that end, many of the companies traded numbers and promised to follow up. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rasha McChesney in Chengdu, China.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.